A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
A very good evening. I'm Ed Finn, and my guest on the show this evening is one of Ireland's best known chefs, celebrated author, and proprietor of Dunbrody House and Cookery School in Wexford, Kevin Dundon. Kevin, you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland.
That's great to be here.
Where did your passion, I suppose, or your love for food come from, or how did you come to this wonderful journey of yours?
Yeah, I guess from a very early age, my whole family are mad into food. So mum in particular, my grandparents, and basically when we were sitting down for dinner tonight, we'd be talking about what we're going to be having for dinner tomorrow night. And mum was actually brought up in Rhodesia, when I was in Zimbabwe, from the age of 3 till she was 18. So she had kind of an unusual palate for us here in Ireland. So we were actually eating more interesting food than the majority, where it was very much meat and two veg. But we were eating all sorts of, well, they're probably not unusual now, but we were eating lasagnas back then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 54, so you can go back, you can work it out. But we were eating babuti, which is a lovely minced curry with grated apples with an egg topping baked in the oven. It's an amazing dish. But that we were eating peri-peri chicken, but stuff that you would eat now, which would be just the norm. But back then it was quite interesting.
For me, that's hilarious because I lived in Cape Town for 7 years.
Oh, then you know babuti.
So babuti and milk tarts and, you know, ostrich. I mean, these were all amazing stuff. But that was one of the most delicious things. I used to love that. It was delicious.
It's a real comfort food. It's like our cottage pie.
Yeah.
Real comfort food. But my very first experience of cooking was when I was about 7, and we were in Kilkee in County Clare, and we used to go down there every summer, and Dad and myself went out fishing and we caught a heap of mackerel. I just remember it was one of those days you put the rod in, six mackerel came up, and we'd like two boxes. So I was selling the mackerel on the side of the pier when we came in off the boat, and we went back, and then mum cooked them, and she literally just grilled them with a little bit of lemon butter on top, lovely potatoes and green beans, and they were fantastic. And then the next morning, my grandparents were staying. The next morning I got up and I decided I'd cook them breakfast in bed. So I put the mackerel under the grill. I was way ahead of my time because I put the mackerel under the grill and just barely seared them. So there was seared sashimi. They were basically raw, right? So I put them on a plate. I gave them cold toast and cold tea. Brought it into them in their bed, and they sat up and ate the whole thing.
Was it an early ceviche? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, a budding master chef.
Budding master chef. Way ahead of my times.
The old schoolhouse, I suppose, when it started, I mean, that would have been was a really cool place to go. I mean, I remember the food was fabulous.
But basically what happened was I went to college in Dublin, so I went to Dublin DIT, and then my job placement was in the old schoolhouse for a year, and then I was in Air Square, and I was in a restaurant called Coffer's Restaurant in Cope Street, just behind Bloom's Hotel, or the old Jury's, and with a chef called Jack Hart. He was a really good chef, and I worked with Patsy McGuirk as well in Dublin, and then I got a scholarship to go to Switzerland, so through CERT, which is no longer, it was an apprenticeship board here in Ireland, now Fulch Ireland.
Yeah, that was a great scheme.
It was a fantastic scheme, and it produced brilliant chefs. I mean, a consistent flow of chefs coming through the system, which we're sadly lacking now. But I think they're talking about bringing that, something similar back into the system, which would be fantastic to bring more apprenticeships through our amazing industry. I worked in a restaurant called Mère Catherine in Zurich, and the chef there. What I really got about the Swiss is they're very organized people, and they're very, like, their kitchens are spotless and there's a place for everything. And I think there was a great learning to be had there, which means then if you walk into our kitchens in Dunbrody, everything's got a place, and the place is spotless. And I'm only happy if I'm working in a clean environment, and which is great because I'm a chef and it should be clean anyways. But it was a very interesting place to work, because what happened was is that I got the scholarship, your name goes into this hat, and then a restaurant will actually pull you down from this group of candidates, and I ended up going to the Caribbean in between college and Switzerland, and I worked for Windstar Sails was the largest sailing yacht in the world, 150 passengers, and I was on that for about 6 months. We took it out from Le Havre, went across to the Caribbean, and then my visa was coming through for Switzerland, so I left the boat and lived in Miami for about 6 weeks waiting on my visa. So I was like, and what actually happened, did you remember the user cards? They did a mistake on my card saying I was 23. No, it wasn't. I didn't do anything. They actually made the mistake, but it worked to my benefits because I was actually only 18 or 19, which meant that I could actually go into the bars in Miami. So I had a great time in Miami for 6 weeks and then came to conservative Switzerland. Mm. And I always, you know that song, "Stop Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense"? I always remember that song, walking around Zurich Sea, which is the lake in Zurich, saying, what am I doing here? It was like a prison sentence, because you'd walk into a bar, and I know German, you walk into the bar and ask the person beside you, do you speak English? And they say, yes. And then that would be the end of the conversation.
That so was the English.
After about 3 months, I could speak German, and I ended up getting great mates, and I actually enjoyed the year. But the first 3 months was hell.
Yeah, and of course, Zurich today, I mean, it's actually, I mean, our own James Joyce, of course, is buried there in the beautiful Fluntern Cemetery. I've been there to visit. And it's a real bohemian city now. I mean, it's really changed a lot.
My very first day working in the restaurant, I broke the tip of my finger and the top of the freezer. I was asked for a sorbet. And the freezer lid, I threw it up and I put my hand in and the lid came down and crushed my fingers. So I was actually off work for 3 weeks or something like that. But they had sick police, and they used to come, like you had to be in your room at 10 o'clock at night time, and they came and checked. They did actually come and check to make sure you were there.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Early tracing.
But the best thing was this lady of the house, and she used to drive me mad and come in at 8 o'clock in the morning. So what I did is I set my alarm clock one morning for 7:45, and I stripped off naked, lay on the top of the bed. And she walked in the room, and she never walked in my room again.
She was in every hour on the hour.
That was the best thing I ever did, because you could see as I walked out of the house, the curtain would just go back, and she'd see you go down, and then she'd go and clean my room. It's fantastic. Oh,
brilliant. That was very innovative of you. Could be working for that just quickly on the cruise ship. I mean, going out at Harv, was there a lot of French people on that? It must have been pretty high-end cuisine, I'd say.
Windstar Sails, it was only 150 passengers. Mm. So, and people weren't restricted to times or anything like that. You could eat whenever you wanted. And we had two restaurants on board. And we used to pick up fresh products from every port that we stopped in. So, and there was a huge French influence on it because it was a French boat. But it was absolutely amazing. And like when we went across the Atlantic, they actually took off the stabilizers and the engines, and they actually sailed the boat.
Amazing.
I was like, it's stunning, stunning boat.
Well, that was incredible. Miami, Switzerland, I'll tell you. I mean, those were you were having a great time from one place that doesn't sleep at all to another place. Yeah. Just a minute.
But the cruise lines is interesting. Not that I wouldn't recommend anybody to work on them, but it was, you basically work 7 days a week for a long period of time. And your day off was that you didn't have to work breakfast or lunch, but you still had to work dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was amazing when you were actually working on board. I was young and we were just focusing, put your head down and work. But it was, everybody was doing the same. So you didn't really notice till you actually left the boat and you go, my God, what was I doing? What was I even thinking? But it was a great life experience. It was a really good life experience. Learned to mix with so many different types of people from different backgrounds, different countries and just kind of understanding them as people. So I think I learned more about people in that part of my work experience.
Yeah, of course, because I mean, cruising, I mean, you know, I've done a few of them all over the world. You meet people weird and wonderful. I sailed across from Southampton to New York 8 days, and just the amazing the amount of people you actually meet that you'd never think you'd ever see anywhere, all together in one place.
I did. I was asked, and I did it. The Queen Mary asked me to come on as a celebrity chef for a week or whichever cruise I wanted to go and do demos. And that's a massive ship, and that was really interesting. I was behind the scenes and in the kitchens there and stuff like that. And it's just like a machine. It's just like the amount of food that they're going through and stuff like that. But that's a tough environment to work in, because they're at sea for 8 days or and they have to bring on all the food. So yeah, a lot of it is actually coming on frozen because they have no choice but to do it that way. But the best crack to be had on those boats is the crew bar.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Red Lion karaoke bar, actually. Yeah. I won't go into that now.
No, yeah.
Your first piece of music this evening, Kevin, is a man who's celebrating his 75th birthday, I think, this year. Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, great guy. And I love Van Morrison. I love his whole tone of voice and the way he tells the story through his songs.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Hi, I'm Ed Finn and you're listening to A Taste of Ireland. My guest this evening is Kevin Dundon. Kevin, we've just been talking about your fabulously exciting early career there.
Yeah, so basically from Switzerland, I went to Canada and I worked in Canada for 7.5 years. And I loved Canada. I worked for Fairmont Hotels. I was the youngest executive chef for them. But I was headhunted back to the Shelburne Hotel here in Dublin. And the Shelburne was always, it's an interesting place and I love the place. It's the old lady of Dublin. But I always had this kind of, I always put the Shelburne on pedestals, like when, as a young boy and growing up and stuff like that. And so I came over for the interview and it was really interesting. I was looking, like I was leaving a hotel with 421 bedrooms and 7 restaurants, banquets for 750, a big team, and going into the Shelburne where they had banquet series for 350 and then 11 private dining rooms and a restaurant and 2 bars and the afternoon tea. And I was going, God, this is going to be so easy, right? So anyways, I came home for it, and it was brilliant because the Shelburne Hotel moved both Catherine and myself home from Canada, and it was a superb job to get. It was like one of the best jobs in Ireland in my career in the hotel world, and I had so much fun in the Shelburne. It was 2 years I was in there. We opened the side door restaurant in my time, changed all the food concepts. The Shelburne was getting great awards and stuff like that for the food, but it was a difficult place to work in because it's like, it was difficult but enjoyable. So difficult in the sense that a lot of the employees were there for a long time. They were set in their ways, so it was kind of like, it was like moving a big ship on a very slow movement
trajectory.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was but after a while they kind of got to know me, got to know what I was about. I was all, like, and my ethos is still the same. It's all about freshness of products, using Irish ingredients and doing very little to them, letting the ingredients speak for themselves. And once you get that concept going through, and your suppliers, now the suppliers are brilliant, but like back then it was very much, I was used to working in Canada where if you phoned a supplier and you asked them you were looking for something, they said, we don't have that, but leave it with me. In Ireland back then it was, we don't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a full stop. So you really had to go fishing for what you were looking for. But now it's the same as what it was in Canada, or maybe I've just got used to it.
And of course, you've built up this incredible relationship with the US and Canada. And I mean, you have a lot of places over there that you work with and that you promote as well, which are the Irish people, and a lot of Irish love going there, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So well, we have, first of all, we've got TV shows on PBS in the States. So, and we've 3 seasons of shows going on over there, and they're hugely successful. And then I was a signature chef for MGM in Las Vegas, where it was all to do with an Irish food concept. And then we had a restaurant in Disney in Raglan Road, and which the restaurant's still going, very successful. I decided that I wanted to concentrate more time in Ireland. I was traveling so much. So last year we pulled out of there, and we had a place in Kansas City as well. And the TV show goes out in New York, so I was in New York. So I was like, 1 year I spent 180 days in America in the total year. It was just way too much. And with family life and the hotel here, which is really our baby, and that's what's really important to us. And then I have a range of pots and pans and knives and all that I sell on QVC.
You're the Joan Rivers of
BBC.
Yeah,
I know.
So brilliant. But you know, like now, lately, we have our own studio in Dunrody and we're doing live shows directly into the States and into Canada, which means that hopefully I won't have to travel as much. What really blew me away about Ireland when I came back after being out of Ireland for 10 years, I think when I was here 10 years prior to that, I was oblivious to how good our ingredients were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just took them for granted. We should never take them for granted because they're superb. So I worked with great chefs all over the world and they're all about introducing 10 different flavours on a plate to make your main protein or main ingredient pop and give you the flavour. So when I came back, I started introducing that philosophy into Irish food and the food was just exploding off the plate. So much more that's when I just sort of tamed the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And literally just let that beautiful piece of lamb from Achill Island or you know, that fillet of beef from Johnstone Farms or you know, the fish that's been cut off the hook head. We've got lobster on the menu at the moment and fresh crab, and it's just like it's literally respecting the food, and like we're just caretakers of great ingredients that we're just passing through our hands onto the plates of our customers and letting them enjoy the fruits of Ireland.
That's lovely. That's a lovely philosophy. I mean, I suppose the ultimate goal was to have your own place where you can...
I've always wanted, from a young child, I always wanted to own a country house. So I was in the Shelburne for 2 years and we owned a house in Balls Bridge. And I was walking by Jack and Stephen McCabe's auctioneer house and I was looking, the prices in Dublin had started to go up, but they hadn't really budged in the country. And I was looking, God, these are accessible. So Cash and myself looked, we wanted something southeast because we wanted something, we were going to have a mortgage on the property. So we wanted something that was accessible to Dublin and because we're going to be open year round. So we went down the southeast coast and we looked at a number of houses. And these houses are, you walk into the house and it's the owners that actually show you around the house. So, and you know yourself, the minute you walk in the front door, you know whether you like the house or you don't.
You knew the minute you walked in.
Yeah, the minute we walked into Dunbrody, even though it was closed for 15 years, it was we knew that we wanted it. And then we kind of looked at it going, it is quite remote. Not so much now, but then it was.
Mm.
And then, like, our whole aim was to be in Ireland's Blue Book, which is the Irish premier selection of hotels and restaurants from the length and breadth of Ireland. So that was always our target.
Yeah, and of course that would lend itself beautifully to one of their properties.
Exactly. So then we looked at the Blue Book and where they were, all the properties within the Blue Book were located, and they were all kind of secluded, like the country houses. So it actually fitted our model completely. And so that was in October of 1996. A long time ago, wasn't it?
It seems like a long time ago.
It does, yeah. Some days it seems like that.
It does,
and
yeah.
It does,
yeah.
So long.
Amazing.
And so we put an offer in and they accepted it and we opened May of 97. And we've been going strong ever since.
Being a member of the Blue Book, of course, does give you that lovely little prestigious membership and the networking and everything. It's an amazing quality.
But the network is brilliant.
Quality.
Brilliant with Ireland's Blue Book. But what I always say about Ireland's Blue Book is that they're owner-operated Irish hotels, restaurants and guest houses around Ireland. You know when you walk into a Blue Book property that you're going to experience quality. Best Irish hospitality and quality ingredients, quality food.
Yeah, and also I think, Kevin, stories and personalities.
Yes.
And it's hard to, it's really, until you've actually gone and experienced it, I mean, it's a unique experience, really, that you can, almost difficult to put your finger on it to a certain extent, but you come away feeling that you've had something special.
Yeah, it's like Emily, our eldest daughter is working in the reception at the moment before she goes back to college at the end of the year. And I told Emily, like, when people come into the house, just say, "Welcome, I'm Emily Dundon, welcome to our hotel." And it's like that real kind of family feel the minute you walk in.
A few people I know actually be foodies that would have experienced your place and Dunbrody and the cookery school. People say chefs are born, not made, you know. But I think a week in your cookery school apparently changes that, from what I've been told.
I, d- I, d- I tell you what's great. I think what's great about our cookery school is that, you know, it's a maximum of 10 people, right? So now with the current situation, it's a maximum of probably 6, and they're still going ahead. So it's very much one-to-one, one-on-one. So it's, you're not in a big class with 40 people. So you're kind of handheld throughout the whole course. So it doesn't matter what level you come in at, we'll guide you through cooking the recipes. And when you leave, you have a great understanding of what good quality ingredients are about, and B, you learn how to cook a number of dishes. And all you really need, if you do a dinner parties for 6, that course is a 2-day course, that you'll walk away knowing how to do 4 dinner parties. You'd never need to know anymore.
That's fabulous. I mean, because, I mean, I think that's one thing that people were saying to me, that people think they could only boil an egg or something. And you're like, and they come away and they, when the joy of being able to cook something and the friends going, oh, wow, that was like complete surprise.
Yeah. So if you look at my TV show, Back to Basics, for example, it was on Virgin Media there during lockdown, but it was, that is going right back to basics. So there was a chapter on eggs, for example.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting chapter, right? Because it starts by how to crack an egg, right? How to make scrambled eggs, how to make a meringue, how to make a hollandaise sauce, and then right up to how to make a raspberry souffle. But by the time you get to the raspberry souffle, which is like, if I turn around to you and said, would you make me a raspberry souffle? You say, Kevin's lost the plot.
I'd be looking up MasterChef on YouTube.
Lost plot. But if you actually, if you cooked everything in that chapter,
yeah,
you would have done all the elements to make that souffle.
Yeah.
So it's taken all the mystique out of how to make and all the stress out of that. And I think that's, you know, that's the beauty of good teaching, slowly but guide them. Before you know it, you're already there. And you're kind of going, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's
and then
wonderful.
You get success.
And talking about cooking the perfect egg, right? Your next music choice this evening is very good. Bob Marley, Three Little Birds. is that the love for eggs, is it?
Absolutely, the love for eggs is right.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Hi, I'm Ed Finn, and you're listening to A Taste of Ireland. My guest this evening is Kevin Dundon. I suppose COVID-19, for you, Kevin, and in your business, I mean, how is this affecting you? I mean, I know I wouldn't say in a great way, but I mean, you know, in terms of everyone is coping, I guess, and making the most of it. But it's an ever-changing landscape, isn't it?
Well, it is an ever-changing landscape. Like, in Dunbrody, we're fortunate that we're blessed with space. And the house is very spacious. We're only doing residence only, so we'd have 50 guests in the hotel every night, and they're timed in terms of whether they're eating in the champagne and seafood bar or in the harvest room, and everybody feels really comfortable, and they're eating out in the terrace. Well, they were eating out in the terrace for dinner and stuff like that. We haven't opened our pub, which was a big gastro pub, so we could, there was food there. I didn't feel comfortable opening it because it's a very busy spot. It's a classic Irish pub where it's great, but there's loads of bottlenecks in it, and that's what makes a great pub instead of this big barn of a place. So I wasn't comfortable, nor was Catherine comfortable with COVID and how we'd manage it through COVID. We put a brand new kitchen in there in February. So our intention was to have a great year there this year. But sure, listen, it wasn't to be. The spa we haven't opened. The cookery school is back and it's opening. And we're also doing, which has one of the positives that has come out of COVID, we're doing online cookery courses. So, and they're super successful. And basically they're a private Instagram page where they're 1-week courses. You get 7 tutorials where I do a video and a backup document and a recipe of the day over 7 days. And then Tuesday and Thursday, we do 2 live cook-alongs. And then at the end of the course, you get a PDF file of the whole course in a print format. So you get a little book of all these recipes. But you have access to that particular page for life. So you can look back on the videos, recap, and they're just being... So we've got like 2 coming up for Christmas. So we've got one which is going out in November, and it's a 1 week course, but it's all about stuff to get ready for Christmas. So how to make the Christmas cake, how to make the Christmas pudding, your brandy butters, your minced meat.
Like, I wasn't going to bring up the C word yet, right? But I thought, ah, look, sure, it's September now. So we might as well get into it. You would be synonymous as Mr. Christmas for a lot of people in terms of food. And, you know, because I've seen some of, you know, your programs, and it's brilliant to get, you know, that instruction, because there's a lot of pitfalls there with, you know, managing to make a Christmas dinner. But the online thing sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. And what we're going to do is we're going to concentrate on the second part of the course is all about Christmas Day and around Christmas. So Christmas Day, obviously, leftovers, Boxing or Stevens's Day, New Year's Eve, like all that kind of celebrate. And we're all going to gear it around parties of six, because six is the magic number this year.
So
we'll do all the recipes.
Six is the new 10.
Yeah, so six, we'll do recipes for six people. So, and what's great about them is that there's great interaction as well. So when we're doing the Cook Along Lives, people are asking questions, I'm answering the questions, and then the people that are on the course have a private email address that they email, and we get back to them in 24 hours. So that's kind of the base of them. But the online courses have been, and we have amazing people from America, Saudi Arabia, China, Australia, South Africa, like all over the world on these courses. It's like, it's really good. We're doing one this week on slow cooking, for example.
Wonderful.
And it's like 250 people on that course. But
that's the great thing about it. I mean, there's no number restriction, which is really fabulous.
To 250, just because in order for us to answer all the questions and stuff, you'd have to have a whole team answering. Like at the moment, we have three people: myself, Julian, and Janice are literally on our phones the whole day, just answering questions.
But of course, I was going to ask you that. I mean, you know, you've built up an amazing media presence over the years. Yeah. I mean, you're the ambassador for one of our leading supermarkets here, Super Value. Yeah. I mean, the question, of course, is like, where do you find the time for it all?
Yeah, well, I have a great team, which is Ray and Julian's been with me, my PA chef. He's been with me 14 years. So Julian and myself, we worked together, and Janice, my head chef, in the kitchen. So we're good. Like, I've partnered with Super Value for the last, I think, 12 years, I think, as brand ambassador. They're an amazing company to work for. They have the same ethos that I have in terms of indigenous Irish ingredients, supporting local, community related. They're all individually owned supermarkets, so they each supermarket have a vested interest in their own brand within the brand. Mm. And I think that it just becomes a lovely family, a bit like the Blue Book, in terms of when we have our AGMs, and it's not going to happen this year, but the AGMs are brilliant for bouncing ideas. I'm coming up against a brick wall on something. I know I've got 50 members within the Blue Book that I can actually just pick up the phone, and I don't know them all personally, and say, have you come across this issue? Or you can just put it out in an email, and someone will come back, I met that dude before, and this is how you get around that block.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Or whatever the case may be, and that's what's great about Ireland's Blue Book and companies like Super Value.
What is your pet hate, or what really annoys you these days about service?
No, well, I think a lot of not so much allergies, but a lot of they're very trend related. So vegan, but vegan is very trendy at the moment. But there's always a balance at the end of the day. So gluten intolerance was huge. The gluten intolerance, like, they seem to have gone away to where they were at. You do genuinely have celiacs out there that are have a huge reaction if they do get any gluten, and that's really important that we look after them really well. I think if your food, like in Dunrody, it's like our food is all natural, like we use very little flour, so it's all our sauces, soups, and all that, they're all reductions. The only place that we'd really use flour is in pastry, but then we have alternatives. We always have alternatives. So if someone comes in and says, I'm allergic to this or that, and they can basically pretty much have everything's on the menu, and we just kind of adapt it slightly. But I'll always personally go out and chat to them, or I'll get my chef. If anybody has an allergy, I'll always get my chef to go out and chat just to make sure that they feel comfortable, particularly if they say they have a nut allergy. Because the problem is with a nut allergy is probably the hardest, because there's traces of nuts everywhere. You know what I mean? In our kitchen. So it's impossible to say, I'm not personally putting any nuts into your food, but we do use nuts in the kitchen. So you do need to realize, and we do sanitize and clean our kitchen. But there is, if you go into a factory, a manufacturer that's actually producing food, they would actually, if you go to an ice cream manufacturer, they would have their main factory floor that would have nuts and everything else going on. And then they have an enclosed factory within the factory space with a different color suit on that just work with non-nut. Our non-nut products.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of realized. No, of course you can't. I realized that. I think the really severity of nut allergies. I was on a flight a couple of years ago, and a student who had this. It was someone opened a bag of nuts on the plane somewhere, and he actually. I mean, the whole place was evacuated because he literally swelled up. But I mean, I think everybody was like, oh my God, it was just in the air, you know, sort of. Yeah. So I think, that was a bit scary at the time. But
but I think as an individual, you have to take responsibility for yourself as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So and you're the best one to answer those questions personally. So it's unfortunately, if you're that highly, you do have to limit your restaurants that you go to and hand choose the ones that you respect that are going to look after you. And that's what Dunbrody House would do, or any other property within the Blue Book, because we have a vested interest in our business and in you, because we want you to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the lovely thing about it, you know, and people, that's the great business. Repeat business is great.
Yeah.
When you go into restaurants yourself, some people say to me, I like a non-fussy service. Some chefs, for you, what's the worst? Is it too much, too little? What's the happy medium?
Well, the worst is too much and the worst is too little. Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I like a friendly person. I'm not looking for... it depends on the restaurant. If I go out for dinner, I like to chill and relax, just eat good food with a nice glass of wine. And the food's coming, and the waiter is coming, and he or she is serving me with a smile on the face, and you can see that they enjoy working in the place. I think, and you can see that through the frontline staff, whether this is an enjoyable place to work or it's a nasty place to work in, and that vibe just comes through the place. So I just chilled out eating great steak, or I'd eat fairly simply anyway. So I love going to the likes of Chapter One or Le Cavan or Patrick Gibo's, just to get an interesting view on food.
Of course,
But if you look at those three restaurants, which are three brilliant restaurants, they're very classically trained, classical chefs.
Yes.
So you're getting true food. It's not all this arty stuff happening on the plate that messes with your head when you're eating something that looks
a load of smoke coming out, like one of these smoke Scandinavian creations.
And ants grown out.
I had one interesting one in Oslo. I won't talk about that here now, but I don't know what I was eating.
I know, but that's kind of good too. It's kind of good to experience that sort of stuff too.
But
if I'm going out to relax, I like to go, particularly going to gastropubs where I can have a nice pint or a craft beer and a good plate of food.
And absolutely, I think a lot of people would agree with that. It's lovely to have an occasion, of course, and stuff. And I mean, what would your guilty pleasure be in terms of what would you have in the fridge if you want to sit down and watch something on TV? Or
I like popcorn. I love popcorn, so I'd always pop a bowl of popcorn. I love yogurts, but in saying that, I could make a mug of tea and take a packet of short bread biscuits out of the thing and eat the whole packet. Where do they go?
And Moorish.
Then I'm hiding the packets so Cashin doesn't see.
I know. Where do they go? if I travel, if I go away and you're away and you're on a trip and there's a lot of fancy food, I love to come home to a Barry's tea and a sausage sandwich with a bit of Brennan's bread, just something completely cheap.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say to you, Kevin, just for people coming into the autumn now, we've become we've become sort of staycation focused, really, with the way things are at the moment. And one thing I've noticed is an awful lot of places, including Blue Book and all over, and different hotels everywhere, there's some great offers out there at the moment. And I suppose it's never been a better time for people to discover Ireland in the ways that we haven't before. And I've certainly had some great experiences in the last few months. What are your plans for autumn? Have you got any super sizzlers for people, or is it a good time? Are you full up?
No, it's a good time. Like we have the best place to get get the specials and what's going on. Dunbrody is on our website, dunbrodyhouse.com. But we have two packages that come to mind. We have a lazy Sunday package, which means that you get an early check in into Dunbrody. You can have a cocktail, or you can have afternoon tea. You can have an early supper and then sleep overnight and have a great breakfast in the morning. And that's starting at €145 per person, which is great value.
Yeah, super.
On a Sunday. And then we have, from the other end, we've got Live Like a Lord.
And I like the sound of this now.
Exactly. So that is in one of our one-bedroom suites. So that's like a super beautiful suite with a separate sitting room, bedroom and bathroom.
And so you'd arrive and you would get a full afternoon tea, classic afternoon tea. You get dinner in the harvest room from our seasonal menu. You would get champagne breakfast on one of the mornings that you're there. And you just feel utter pampered.
Wow.
And just like chilled out completely. That's actually a very popular package.
That pampering and that lovely relaxing brings us to your final choice of music this evening. And I don't think there could be anybody as relaxing as this lady, Nina Simone.
Nina Simone.
And you've chosen Feeling Good. Well, Kevin, before we play that, can I just say that it's been an absolute pleasure. I could talk to you for hours and hours, right?
But it's not to do with my age. I've been around too long.
No, that's same age as me. I'll have to get you back for a Christmas special, I think. Yeah, we'd have to, definitely. Yeah. I'll drive down to you the next time. Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been a great pleasure. And we'll play Nina Simone and Feeling Good.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.